Okay, today we are in the book of Acts, chapter 16. Let's read first few verses.
Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there, named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman, which was a Jewish, and believed, but his father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were at Lystra and Iconium. Him would Paul have to go forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek.
Okay, now we'll stop right here. Now we see here what happened. Last week, if you remember, we learned that Barnabas and Paul had disagreement. Barnabas starts saying, I want John going with me in a trip. Paul said, we cannot take him because he abandoned us once. And so I'm not taking with him. So Barnabas and Paul had disagreement. Now people might be thinking Paul was wrong and somebody says Barnabas was wrong. But let me tell you what I feel. I feel that John Mark was a young man and he should have been staying Antioch for a while, studying the word of God, getting stronger in the ministry, and then go for the mission journey. That I would suggest. The same way Paul said it, and Barnabas didn't like it. We learned that they went two different ways. And last Sunday, as I said to you, what John Mark and Barnabas did in this journey in book of Acts is not recorded. But here we see now Paul took Silas with him. Silas was not an ordinary man. We learned Silas came from Jerusalem to see what was going in the Antioch church, and he came to help, and he found out Paul is a dedicated man of God and he wanted to stay with him. And now Paul and Silas started the journey. The way they came and the trouble they had, Derbe and Lystra and all of those places, they went back. And they found out there is certain man having a lot of faith in God and holding on to Jesus Christ and growing nicely. Now, when I was thinking about this person, and when you read the verse 2, that man was in Lystra and Iconium. That's the place these people had a lot of problems. Talking about Paul and Barnabas had a lot of problems. But God raised one man. And his name is given Timotheus. This is Timothy. Now Timothy was a young man, but was very highly educated in the Word of God. Now in this chapter, his mother's name is not given, but he says there was a certain woman which was a Jewish and believed, but his father was a Greek. That means the mother was a Jewish lady, but the father was a Gentile, and this man was born in that family. I'm talking about Timothy. But see what happened. Father's influence was less on the Timothy, but grandmother of Timothy and mother of Timothy was having more influence in Timothy's life. So Timothy learned the word of God from his childhood. I don't know when they got saved and how they got saved, mother and grandmother, but they were believers. Go to the 2 Timothy chapter 1 verse 5.
When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also.
Now, St. Paul is talking about Timothy. He's saying, I know how your grandmother and your mother had that sound faith and godliness, and that I see in you. What we're learning from this? Mother has a great responsibility to take care of her children. See how Timothy's mother's mother, Timothy's grandmother, taught her daughter about Jesus Christ. And now she is teaching Timothy. So the Timothy learned from the mother and a grandmother, and today he's a man of God, doing the Lord's work and dedicated to the work of God. Many people do not want their children to be ministered because our mind is in money and money-making business. But once we get the idea that we have to serve the Lord, and that is the greatest work in this world. And there are so many people working for the Lord. So you can see this child, Timothy, learned from his mother, and today he's serving the Lord. And now we read in here, let's read the verse 3, Acts chapter 16, verse 3.
And would Paul have to go to forth with him, and took and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in those quarters, for they knew all that his father was a Greek.
Now here, Timothy, poor man, he was not circumcised. His mother was Jewish. His father was Gentiles. And they're supposed to say, the father might be saying, no, I don't want to circumcise my son. And the mother might be saying, we want to circumcise. And they might have some problem. Now, few days ago or weeks ago, Paul and Barnabas had the problem in the church. Because some people came from Jerusalem and say, we should be circumcised, otherwise we cannot be get saved, and we have to observe the Mosaic law. And Paul and Barnabas went to Jerusalem, they got straightened out everything, and they came back, and now he's starting a new journey, and see how the devil coming against the work of God. Now here, the Timothy is sold out to God, he wants to work, and other Jewish people start thinking, I want to see what Paul is doing here. Because Paul goes and tells the Gentiles, he says, well, you don't have to be circumcised. And here he comes, and then he got a problem now. What we do with Timothy? Timothy is not a fully Gentile, and he's not fully Jewish. So what we do? So here, according to my thinking, Paul made a mistake, but he compromised. Paul do not want to take Timothy with him and not to be circumcised. So he circumcised the Timothy, and now he might be thinking, now he's a Jewish Christian because we circumcised him. Now the same Paul was against circumcision, but here people force him to do circumcise for Timothy. And that's what sometimes people compromise to please people. The same Paul says, I am not here to please people. But now I don't know, whether Timothy's idea, or his mother's idea, or other Jewish people's idea, they said he should be circumcised, and then he circumcised the Timothy. Now he has a problem, what the other churches will be saying. Let's read the verse 4 onwards.
As they went through the cities, they delivered them to the decrees for to keep, that were ordained of the apostles and elders which were at Jerusalem.
Okay, now what he's trying to say, he came to other churches and he said, listen, whatever the church in Jerusalem taught us, the church of Jerusalem says do not force anybody to be circumcised. And circumcision doesn't save you. Mosaic law doesn't save you. Then he might have given explanation why he circumcised Timothy. He says, forget about what happened to Timothy. You should not be circumcised. You just listen what the Jerusalem church told us to do. And that's what we are declaring to you. Because some people might have got some kind of fear. Now Paul might have changed his mind because he went to Jerusalem, came back from Jerusalem. Now he's coming from Antioch, and here he comes and circumcised the Timothy. Now the people who are Gentiles there and became Christian, they might be a little bit confused. Now what we should be doing? Then Paul goes to churches and start telling them, do not worry. I'm not here to circumcise. I'm not here to tell you to Gentiles should be coming to the church and be circumcised. This is different story. I did not change my mind. I just still love the Gentiles, and I want Gentiles to follow the Lord Jesus Christ, and we are not going to force you to be circumcised. And then what happened? List verse 5.
And so were the churches established in the faith and increased in number daily.
That's what he says. Then when he says that the churches were established in the faith, they believed that Paul is telling the truth. But sometimes circumcision comes, and sometimes you have to compromise, and that's what happened. But here he says, people are start coming and growing in daily. Means the number was increasing. So here the word of God said, the churches were what? Established in what? Faith. We have to have faith in God. Don't trust in people. Don't trust man. The word of God says, whoever trusts in man or princes, God is not pleased. But we are trusting in the Lord, and God is going to give increase in number. How it says? Daily. Verse 6.
When they had gone throughout Phrygia and the region of Galatia, and were forbidden of the Holy Ghost to preach the word in Asia.
Now just think. Paul is a little bit discouraged. Discouraged that Barnabas left him. Now he is a little bit worried that he disobeyed a little bit to God, circumcising Timothy. And now he's thinking, where am I going to go? And he wanted to go to Asia. The Spirit of the Lord says, no, Paul, you're not going there. So the door was closed. Now just think, you are excited to do some project. I want to do something. And all of a sudden somebody says, you cannot do it. Or don't do it. It will not work. Or don't do that way. So what happened? Paul got discouraged. This is naturally. So the Holy Spirit says, no, you cannot go there. Let's read verse 7.
After they were come to Mysia and essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not.
Okay, now they wanted to go to another place, and the Spirit of God says, no, you cannot go there. Now you cannot go left, you cannot go right. Where do you go? So the Paul doesn't know what to do now. I wanted to go one place, the Holy Spirit says no. I wanted to go to another place, Holy Spirit says no. So what should I do? I believe Paul might be start praying, Lord, what should I do now? Let's read verse 8.
And they passing by Mysia came down to Troas. And a vision appeared to Paul in the night. There stood a man of Macedonia and prayed him, saying, come over into Macedonia and help us.
Okay, now here see what happens. Paul did not stop the journey. He kept on moving. And when he comes to the certain place, Troas, and he saw the vision. He saw one man. He saw one man in a vision and said, please come to Macedonia and help us. Now the one man is standing and asking Paul to come. Paul was so happy that somebody wants to hear. And so he starts thinking about this vision, and let's see how much time he took. Verse 10.
And after he had seen the vision, immediately we endeavored to go into Macedonia, assuredly gathering that the Lord had called us for to preach the gospel unto them.
Now, see what did he say? When he saw the vision, he said immediately. He said, let's go there, because God wants us to go there and preach the gospel. Sometimes God gives you vision. God tells you to do this, do that. But people do not hearken to the voice of God. They delay, or they might even ignore it. Maybe this is not from the Lord. But once God gives you vision, you have to obey the Lord. You know why I'm here? Because the vision God gave it to me. And that's why when you start the journey, it's not easy. All kinds of obstacles will come. But when God has called you with a definite calling, then you know what God says you do. So the Paul got a vision, I have to go to Macedonia, and I have to go there, and he doesn't know the man. In those days, there is no telephone, there is no email, there is no computer. So this man got a vision. A man is calling to Macedonia. He didn't say, let's go and see what happens in there. But he believed that something God has said for us, and we'll go to the Macedonia. Now, you will see, when you see this chapter, the vision is not clear. Means, vision is clear that the man is going to talk to him or tell him to come and do some ministry or maybe revival meeting or whatever. But whenever he went, he did not see the man. Man comes later. Let's read verse 11.
Therefore, loosing from Troas, we came with a straight course to Samothracia, and the next day to Neapolis, and from thence to Philippi, which is the chief city of that part of Macedonia and a colony, and we were in that city abiding certain days.
Okay, now they came to Macedonia, one of the big city in Macedonia, and they came and they stayed there for certain days. And now just think, with Paul, there were some other ministers. I know Silas was there. And just think, some other people were there. What are they going to say? Paul, did you get the real vision? We came here and no person is inviting you. Now it's almost a week or 2 weeks. And nobody is coming to invite us to go to anywhere. Did you get the right vision? Did really God talk to you? How can you say that you got a vision and now we are here so many days and we do not see any person inviting us for the meeting? And not a single man we see. But Paul was not discouraged, because people will try to make you discouraged. But if you have the vision, you are going to hold on to Jesus Christ. Okay, let's read the verse 13.
And on the Sabbath, we went out of the city by a riverside, where prayer was wont to be made. And we sat down and spake unto the women which resorted thither.
Okay, now he says, let's go. And maybe they were going and praying in the riverside every Sabbath day. Why? Because there is no church, there is no synagogue, nobody's inviting them. So he said, let's go to the open ground and let's go to the riverside and pray. And when they went there and started praying, they saw one lady coming there in the Bible study. Can you imagine? He said, I saw a man in a vision. Why is a lady coming here? So some people say Paul was against ladies. But now you see, he's not against the ladies. You will see in this chapter. But the lady comes there to listen to the Paul and Silas, the Bible study. And he was not discouraged. Let's read a little bit further, verse 14.
And a certain woman named Lydia, a seller of purple of the city of Thyatira, which worshipped God, heard us, whose heart the Lord opened, and she attended unto the things which were spoken of Paul.
Right. Now she started coming and listening to Silas and Paul. And this lady was a business lady. She was making the clothes and purple coloring and selling and doing business. She was not an ordinary woman. This woman was a famous woman doing a business. And riverside means, you know, they come and do the purple coloring and then wash in the river and maybe dry the clothes in the riverside. And so Paul took advantage and started talking to her. And she was interested to learning the word of God. So sometimes, if somebody is not listening to you, and you want to preach the gospel, you get frustrated. What do? Pray, and God will guide you to the right place. Now, this riverside was the right place for Paul and Silas to go and talk to one lady. And the one lady listened to the word of God and see what happens. Let's read verse 15.
And when she was baptized and her household, she besought us, saying, if ye have judged me to be faithful to the Lord, come into my house and abide there. And she constrained us.
Right. Now here Paul and Silas had the Bible study with this lady. And she's a businesswoman, as I said, and now she got saved. When she got saved, I think she told all her household. She went and told other members of the family, hey, come, come for the Bible study. Paul is preaching, and I am so excited. Come and see what I'm seeing and what I'm hearing. So she started inviting her family members. That's called burden for the family. If you have the burden for the family, encourage them to go to church. Encourage them to go to Bible study. Encourage them to listen to the Word of God. Maybe radio, maybe a television, maybe printed pages, or maybe somebody's Bible study. Tell them, because the Word of God is powerful. This lady got all these people. She got baptized and her household. And Paul might be thinking, I saw a vision about a man. Here is the lady. But he was not disappointed. He thought, doesn't matter, the lady or a man, the gospel has to be preached. And she heard the gospel, and many of her family members got saved. You know what? Maybe she was saying to Paul and Silas from the first day, could you come to my house? They didn't go. They said, bring your people to the riverside. I'm not coming to your house. So they didn't go. But when she got baptized, her family got baptized, then she says to Paul and Silas, do you trust me now? Do you believe that I'm a good woman now? I'm changed and I'm transformed. And do you trust me that I'm not a bad person anymore? And if you trust me, why don't you come to my house? And then she forced them and requested them to go to her house. Let's read verse 16.
And it came to pass, as we went to prayer, a certain damsel possessed with a spirit of divination met us, which brought her masters much gain by soothsaying. The same followed Paul and us, and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God, which show unto us the way of salvation.
Okay, now here, when Paul went to this lady's house, I don't know what kind of neighborhood she was living, but there was a lady, a demon possessed. And that demon-possessed lady was soothsayer, means fortune-telling and telling people about their future. And so her boss was making a lot of money. And so he had a good business. And now wherever Paul goes, she follows the Paul. If the Paul goes to city, she goes to there and she starts telling people, hey, look at this man. He tells us about God and Jesus Christ and the plan of salvation. She was not saying anything bad. She was advertising about Paul. Can you imagine? Even the devil wanted to destroy the Paul's ministry, but God put some good words in her mouth. She was saying, Paul preaches about God and he preaches about salvation. Didn't say anything bad. You know, that demoniac person who was living in the tomb and things like that, when he saw Jesus Christ, what did he say? You are the Son of the living God. Even the devil and the demonic spirit recognized Jesus, recognized Paul, recognized God's ministry. They had no power to say anything bad. They wanted to do bad things, but God did not allow. She said, the same followed Paul and us and cried, saying, these men are the servants of the Most High God. A good advertisement, saying good about it, which shows unto us the way of salvation. So these people are good people. Now, even though it was a good thing, but what she was doing, interrupting Paul's messages. Just like Paul is preaching and she comes and says, hey, listen to him, listen to him. And she was interrupting. Paul got mad. Paul says, I don't want this lady. When I'm preaching something, she comes and tries to interrupt me. There are some people sometime in the church, when the pastor preaching, or they want to say something in the middle. But that is not a good idea. When somebody is teaching, you have to listen carefully and understand. If somebody start interrupting, what happens? Your subject get mixed up or the person's thought changes. So the Paul got mad and see verse 18. What did he say?
And this did she many days, but Paul being grieved turned and said to the Spirit, I command thee in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And he came out the same hour. And when her master saw that the hope of their gains was gone, they caught Paul and Silas and drew them into the marketplace unto the rulers.
Right. Now see what happened here. Paul got mad. This lady is bugging us and always interrupting the services. So he said, devil, come out of her. He knew this lady is not doing her own. The devil is behind it. He cast out the devil. Devil came out and now she became a normal person. She might be now attending Paul's services and she might be a good lady. Because Lydia was there, so she might have told her about Jesus Christ. But now the man lost her. She is not being useful to this man. So this man says, now I'm going to do something. He goes to the city, gets some rulers and gets some people and says, start saying, hey, this Paul is a bad person, came to our town. And we want to get rid of Paul. Let's read the verse 20.
Brought them to the magistrates, saying, these men being Jews do exceedingly trouble our city, and teach customs which are not lawful for us to receive, neither to observe, being Romans. And the multitude rose up together against them, and the magistrates rent off their clothes, and commanded to beat them. And when they had laid many stripes upon them, they cast them into prison, charging the jailer to keep them safely.
Amen. Now see what happened here. This Paul and Silas came there with a vision. Lydia got saved. Her family got saved. The demon was cast out. But the devil was still mad. And these people went to city, went to the higher authorities, even the magistrate, and told these people, you know what Paul doing it here? He is teaching us against our Roman culture and Roman government. We do not want to listen because they were thinking Paul and Silas do not know anything about the Roman citizenship. So they thought this is ordinary people and coming as a Christians, so let's get rid of them. If they came to know that Paul was not an ordinary man, he was a Roman citizen, they would not do such a thing. But they thought Paul is an ordinary person and they beat them up. And not only that, they were not satisfied beating them. They put them in a prison and what they said, keep them safely. What does it mean? Doesn't say, oh, keep them without harm. No. If you read the following words, you know what they said. Let's read those.
Who, having received such a charge, thrust them into the inner prison and made their feet fast in the stocks.
Right. It's not a safe keeping. Means do not allow them to get out of this prison. What did they do? They put their leg in the stock. Stock is the thing like a wooden log. They make a hole in that log, means split the log half and make the round holes and put their legs and then put the log back in and fasten it. So they will be not able to walk. They will not able to even stand. Where did they put? Inner prison. Not outside somewhere. Put it in the center of the prison so they will never get out. And that kind of situation they put in. And this is the time I was thinking about John, Mark, and Barnabas. I thought, thank God that John, Mark didn't come with them. Otherwise, he would be very, very upset sitting in their jail and having no good time. But here, Paul and Silas, they were not discouraged. Paul did not say, Lord, you told me that somebody is in Macedonia, is waiting for me. I came here for several days. I didn't find a single man. Then I found a woman who was Lydia and her family. Where is the guy? Where is the man you showed me in a vision? I didn't see it. I saw the demon-possessed lady. And now they gave us beating, and now we are in prison. And when the beating came, do you know, they said they did not beat them only a little bit. They beat them very badly, and they had lots of wounds and lots of blood coming, and nobody was there to even the wipe off the blood or anything. And that situation, they put him in the jail, and now it's in the midnight. And see, once you are really, really called by God, you will never blame God. That's why Paul learned to say, rejoice in the Lord, and again I say rejoice. When the trouble comes, the sorrow comes, the problem comes, you do not run away from God. You come closer to God, and something good is going to happen. Okay, let's read verse 25.
And at midnight, Paul and Silas prayed and sang praises unto God, and the prisoners heard them.
Amen. Now here, Paul and Silas start singing and praising God, and the word of God says, prisoners heard them. Not a single prisoner say, hey, keep quiet. It's at midnight. We want to go to bed. But they were interested. But I believe they were singing the song of salvation. They were singing the song to encourage somebody. And each and every song has a message. All these songwriters, they wrote the songs with a message. And sometimes when people listen to the songs, they get saved. Because song has the message. And so they were giving the messages in the middle of the night, and the people were listening. They were happy. They did not oppose them, did not say stop it and don't do it. So this is God's doing. Even though they went in the prison, prisoner never heard about Jesus Christ. But this day, Paul and Silas had the message for the prisoners. Many prisoners sometimes, you know, they don't go to church. They don't want to listen to God. And when they go to prison, prison chaplains tell them about Jesus. And many prisoners come out as a missionaries or the preachers. And many prisoners get saved. So when somebody goes to prison, pray that they will get the message, and as they come out, they will never go to prison again. Verse 26.
And suddenly there was a great earthquake, so that the foundations of the prison were shaken, and immediately all the doors were opened, and everyone's bands were loosed. And the keeper of the prison, awaking out of his sleep, and seeing the prison doors open, he drew out his sword and would have killed himself, supposing that the prisoners had been fled.
Okay, now here what happens. When they're singing the song, something happened. The prison starts shaking, and the foundation starts shaking. And the prisoners, they were tied with all kinds of metal chain. They loosen up. That means they could run away if they want. And so all these things happen, and the jailkeepers got so scared. He said, now all the prisoners will run away. And then the higher authority will come and they will kill me. So before they kill, let me kill myself. And so he was ready to kill himself. Let's read verse 28.
But Paul cried with a loud voice, saying, do thyself no harm, for we all are here.
Right. Paul said, don't you worry. We are all here. All means not only Paul and Silas, but all the prisoners. Nobody wanted to go. They wanted to listen, Paul and Silas. They want to hear the message. They said, these people are godly people, God-sent people. We are going to listen. We are going to wait here. And they did not go anywhere. And Paul said, don't do any harm. We are all here. Verse 29.
Then he called for a light, and sprang in and came trembling and fell down before Paul and Silas.
Now who is this? This is the jailkeeper. He started trembling and falling and trying to tell these people, you know, he found out these people are men of God. He got the light and he came to these people like to worship them, thinking these are godly people. Let's read verse 30.
He brought them out and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?"
Right. Now, when this Paul and Silas were singing and praising God, and all the prisoners were listening, the jailer, what he was doing? He was sleeping. He didn't hear the salvation message. But when the earthquake noise came and started shaking him, that's the time he woke up. He was not listening to the message. He was not listening to the Paul. But now he says, "Sir, what should I do now to get saved?" What Paul says, 31.
And they said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved, and thy house."
Now, when you ask the question to them, and see what happened. They said, not Paul, but what? Paul and Silas. Right away, the same words came out of their mouth. What? "Believe in the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved, and your household." Paul and Silas, he says, they speak. They means both of them said the same time. Because both of them were concerned about this man's salvation. Silas didn't say, "Hey, this is the man put us in a jail and he was the keeping. We don't want him to get saved. We don't want his family to get saved. Let's think about these people. We are listening to our song and they were interested. Let's pray for them and let's get these people get baptized. We don't want this person to be saved." But no, both of them had the same mind. Let's pray for this man. Let's tell this man to get saved. And if he can get saved, many people will come to the saving knowledge of Jesus Christ. And when he say, "You and your household," now the time is what? Midnight. Now, when people hear this, they say, "You and your household," they said, maybe in the household there are babies, there are little ones. All of those people, Paul will be baptizing. No. Let's read a little bit further, then I'll explain to you.
And they spake unto him the word of the Lord, and to all that were in his house. And he took them the same hour of the night, and washed their stripes, and was baptized, he and all his straightway. And when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them, and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house.
Amen. Now see what happened. He took him to his house, and Paul and Silas gave the message, and the people heard it. And when they heard, and they believed, and they got saved, and they got baptized, and I believe when this, all of this thing happened, then they said, "Okay, we are going to clean your wounds, we are going to give him a good food, and let's have a good time." And I was thinking, if this man said to Paul, before they got baptized, "Paul, you got hurt. I want to clean your wounds first. I want to feed you first. And then we will be listening to the word of God. And then we will be baptized." And even though they said that, Paul might have said, "No way. First, listen to the word of God. Then, let's get baptized. And after that, I will have food. Don't worry about me." And that's the sign of the man of God. You don't worry about food. You don't worry about your comfort. You worry about souls. That should be first. And that's what I learned. I go to somebody's house and they start, you know, cooking for me and things like that. And if there is a meeting, I said, "I want everybody to be here. I do not want anybody cooking for me when I'm there." And so Paul said, "Okay, let's have the baptism and the meeting first." And they had the good time, they ate, and then what happens? Let's read. Verse 35.
And when it was day, the magistrates sent the sergeants, saying, "Let those men go."
Okay. And when it was a day, the magistrates sent the sergeants. So who are these people? The higher authorities coming to the prison. What are they doing? They're checking if everything is okay, because the earthquake happened and many people might have gone. And so when I heard this, that they went to prison back, this prison guard took their feet out of the stock in the middle of the night, took them out to his house, heard the message, and got saved and baptized, and had a food and everything, and put back Paul and Silas back to the prison, put them in the stock and everything, and kept it there. I was thinking, Paul was not worried to running away from the prison, even though they were free, right? They were free out. They would have said to jailer, hey, have mercy on us. We are going to run away. And then you tell these people they ran or they just disappeared. What would happen if the Paul does that? The jailer will be dead. So the Paul said, no way. We came out. We baptized you. We had a fun with you. Let's go back to prison. Put us in a bag in the prison. And then this man might have gone and told this higher authorities, listen, these people are good people. We want these people to be free. And so they said, okay, set them free. See what Paul is saying now.
And the keeper of the prison told this saying to Paul, the magistrates have sent to let you go. Now therefore depart and go in peace.
Now, is this the good news? This is the good news. He says, hey, go home. Go in peace. You don't have to be in prison anymore. And Paul and Silas and jailer should be very happy. But see what Paul is saying. When you hear this, you see what Paul, what kind of person he is. Read the verse 37.
Paul said unto them, they have beaten us openly, uncondemned, being Romans, and have cast us into prison. And now do they thrust us out privily? Nay, verily, but let them come themselves and fetch us out.
Right. Paul said, I'm not going to get out of this prison. You people beat us up and you put us in the prison and you didn't know who we were. We were the Roman citizens. You cannot beat the Roman citizen like that and just say, get out of here. So he said, I'm a Roman citizen. And now you did this thing to us. I want those people to come and dignified way, we want to go. We do not want to go as a prisoner. We don't want to go as a troublemaker. Means we did not do anything wrong and we do not want to go this way. See, if somebody says, hey, Paul, when they say get out, get out. Why you want to stay in the prison and make a big deal out of it? But the Paul said, no, I'm not going that way. I want those people to know I am not ordinary man. I am also American citizen. I am also Roman citizen. That's what he's trying to say. Because American citizens are very respected all over the world. They will never give hard time, means I'm talking about other governments, to the American citizens in another country. The same way the Roman citizens. So the Paul knew, if I'm a Roman citizen, they cannot beat me up like this and tell me to get out of here. I want to let them know that I'm a Roman citizen also. Okay, let's read verse 38 and onwards.
And the sergeants told these words unto the magistrates, and they feared when they heard that they were Romans. And they came and besought them, and brought them out, and desired them to depart out of the city. And they went out of the prison, and entered into the house of Lydia. And when they had seen the brethren, they comforted them, and departed.
Amen. So now Paul and Silas were happy, came out of the prison, and they didn't run away, they went to Lydia's house and say, all the brethren, you know, even though they did this thing to us and they tried to kill us, but God protected us. And now his vision is fulfilled. And then he says, they comforted them. Comforted whom? All the believers. He might have said, you know, when we wanted to go to Asia, the Holy Spirit says, don't go. We want to go to another country. Holy Spirit said, don't go. And then we saw the vision. And the vision, when somebody says, come to Macedonia. And when we came, we could not find anybody. We found the Lydia, and her family got saved. And finally, we were able to go to that man in the vision who called us to Macedonia. And the vision is fulfilled. And now, we are going to another place. What I'm trying to say, when God gives you vision, He will fulfill the vision. Shall we rise?